Ah, it is cold here. There is an icy wind, and I hear... Wherefore do I hear in the air this beating of wings? Oh, one might fancy a bird, a huge black bird that hovers over the terrace. Why can I not see it, this bird? The beat of its wings is terrible. The breath of the wind of its wings is terrible. It is a chill wind. Nay, but it is not cold. It is hot. I am choking. Pour water on my hands. Give me snow to eat. Loosen my mantle. Quick, loosen my mantle. Nay, but leave it. It is my garland that hurts me. My garland of roses. The flowers are like fire. They have burned my forehead.
That was a clip from Salome, an adaptation of the Oscar Wilde play that's coming to Portland's Imago Theater. Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and today we're talking with the artistic co-director of Imago Theater. He's adapted classic dramas by the likes of Molière, Anton Chekhov, and Harold Pinter, written and produced absurdist comedies, and collaborated with Body Vox, the Portland Opera, and the Oregon Symphony. His new production opens tomorrow, April 11th. Jerry Mahawad, welcome to Words and Pictures.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yes, we're also joined by two of Jerry's collaborators, actor Diane Slamp and dramaturge Drew Pissara. And Jerry, I'll let you introduce Diane and Drew.
Yeah, so Drew and I began working with, when was it, Drew? 1994, Phoenicians in the House, was that it? Thank you.
That sounds right.
And then we later did an experimental piece that no one came to, and then everyone came to after the Oregonian did a full page review on it. It was called Samuel's Major Problems, which was written by one of my biggest inspirations, Richard Foreman, who is an icon in experimental theater. I had seen his work in New York, and Drew and my partner and artistic co-director Carol were the leads in that. But then when COVID hit, we started collaborating more, primarily through the first production we did was The Strange Case of Nick M, which was a radio play that actually premiered on KABU, and that Drew and I, well, Drew wrote and I directed, and then the cast rehearsed through Zoom, and then we recorded it, and that was quite fun. And on this play, I asked Drew to adapt this, which is Salome's written for how many characters, Drew? Like 20-some?
I would say there's 15 on the page, but there's also the indication of a larger chorus. So I imagine in Wilde's mind, it was probably about 30 people.
Yeah, so I asked him to adapt it down to, what is it now, 9?
Eight. I said 7, and you gave me one more.
Yeah, okay. Auditions for this started about a year ago, was it, Diane?
Yes, yeah, sounds right.
We probably saw 50 to 60, 70 people. And then Diane was an easy choice for Herodias, which is quite a fascinating character. And this is my first show with Diane.
Yes, and I'm very, very happy to be part of it, because Herodias helps me excise many, many demons. She's quite the monster at times, so she's a lot of fun.
She is a lot of fun. She's quite demonic. People do like really twisted, dark characters, and your character is definitely one of them. I mean, I find your character darker than any of the other characters in the play.
Yeah, I feel like she has a lot underneath. You know, we don't have to go into my backstory with Herodias, but there's a lot that she has probably had to deal with in her life, and she certainly has a strange situation that's happening in the play. So she's got a lot to be upset about.
Well, let's give our listeners a bit of an introduction to Oscar Wilde's Salome, the show that you're bringing to the stage at Imago. There is a lot of history to this play, which was first staged at the end of the 19th century. In fact, Salome was banned from the London stage for over 30 years, despite Sarah Bernhardt's attempts to produce it at the Royal English Opera House.
Interesting, when I first started working on the adaptation, just trying to acquaint myself with earlier versions, there's a couple of movie versions. The most famous one is the one with Rita Hayworth. But there's a really beautiful silent film from 1922 that was co-produced and directed by its star, Alla Nazimova. It's really exquisite. But then there's like these weird offshoots, like Ken Russell's Salome's Last Dance, and
With Glenda Jackson.
that's right. And then there was also this movie Salome, where she danced with Yvonne DiCarlo, which launched her career. So it was fun. Like, one of the things that I was thinking about was just in terms of when I was working on the script, is that the original version that we come to in English is already an adaptation, because Oscar Wilde wrote the script originally in French, and he asked his boyfriend at the time, or lover, Lord Alfred Douglas, if he would translate it. He didn't like the translation at all, so then he fixed the translation. But I do think it's telling that he didn't throw the translation out completely, that he adapted the adaptation. So it made it feel less like a sacrilege, changing the text, because it had already been changed a few times before it arrived in English.
Well, let's see. The story itself is from the Gospel of Mark. Yeah, tell us about the cast of characters and a little bit of the trouble they all get into.
Well, a couple of thoughts on that front. One is Oscar Wilde was actually inspired by Flaubert's Herodias, which was inspired by the original biblical tale. In some ways, I think it's once removed from the Bible. And I think that the play, like some of his comedies too, is a like a veiled presentation of forbidden desire. And there's a lot of ways that this plays out in the script. The most obvious is Herod's lust for his stepdaughter. Herodias wants to see her strong desire to see this prophet killed, which is a taboo.
John the Baptist.
Salome is infatuated with this religious figure that's a condemned man outside her class, outside her religion. And then there's this subplot also, which the adaptation pushes a little bit more to the fore, although you can see it in Oscar Wilde's original piece too, which involves the page of Herodias and the Syrian soldier. So all of these stories of forbidden desire, well, spoiler alert, not a happy ending, but it does seem to be the narrative thread that runs through all the stories in the play.
And the Oscar Wilde play was it became a touchstone for a whole bunch of other artists, including composer Richard Strauss. He based his libretto for the opera version of Salome from Wilde's text.
That's true. And that also was banned for, I think, only a year. But even when it was sung in German, it still alerted the censors.
So I've seen any number of shows at Imago Theater, and if I were going to identify any through lines between them, one would be the use of intimate spaces, and another would be that you put your characters through very trying circumstances. And this is definitely the case with Salome, this tale of rivalry and jealousy and execution.
Yeah, that's really interesting what you said about work here. We just did A Streetcar Named Desire, and that one I definitely played on pushing the characters in highly intimate spaces to bring out the ferociousness they had between them. For Salome, however, we're doing the opposite. I've designed a set where it uses the full expanse of the stage, and there's a lot of space there. That doesn't seem to take away. Yeah, I think there are very intimate moments between Yochanan and Salome, primarily from Salome's point of view. And that is reflected on the staging, on how close they get to each other. But the rest of it, I've been saying to the cast, and because this is kind of strange to say, but it feels like a cross between a Greek tragedy and Star Trek. In the sense that Drew first alerted me to the fact that this is not exactly a historical piece. It's a piece that is of Oscar Wilde's mind. And because of that, that allowed me and the costume designer and a makeup artist to look at possibilities. And also, if you look at opera productions of it, they range quite a bit in terms of taking the possibility of what a character is to its extreme. So, in one photo of an opera, I saw Herod and Herodias all in white with black lips and strange caps. So, I've been working with my cast as well as all the collaborators, including Murr Larsen, who's doing the sound and music composition, to really push that element of creating our own universe. And that's why I say Star Trek, not the kind of campiness of Star Trek, but the sense of anything is possible. There's only two characters that are considered dignitaries from other countries at this party that Herod is throwing. And because of that, I pretty much said to the makeup and to the actors themselves that we need to consider them as if they are coming not from other countries, but like Star Trek, from different planets. And that really helped kind of create our own universe rather than thinking of a historic biblical work that's set in the Middle East.
I do think that feeds into the when Wilde wrote the play, he was a big part of the aestheticism movement, which was all about style for style's sake and art for art's sake. So when Jerry and I were having our initial conversations, the historical aspect to me was secondary to the style that Wilde has created for this story. And I even think that when people think of the play, they often think of those beautiful illustrations by Aubrey Beardsley, which are all these flowing lines and somewhat abstracted forms.
Very Art Nouveau.
Very Art Nouveau, yes. And I don't know that a gritty, naturalistic version of Salome would mesh with the script easily.
It's the kind of play that it is really shaped by a particular vision. It's pretty difficult for me to really understand the many layers that are in this work. And I think that's why it has been a milestone in the history of theater and opera. One
I would
reason
have
I
to agree. Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, I think as one kind of is embodying the characters in the work, there are so many different layers to find. Like, I mean, in parallels with today's society, with corruption of power, what is seen as unforbidden love. And for me, and maybe I have very, I have my Herodias blinders on right now, trying to understand her. But the difficulty of being an intelligent woman in a power position, but yet not having any power, and also being seen as not an equal, basically a piece of property that, she has to find her way to grab the power as she can, and sometimes it comes out with really, really strong emotions, as you have directed, which I think makes a lot of sense that her insides are starting to come out because she has been so squashed.
Herodias is the wife of Herod Antipas, who was ruling over that particular portion of the Levant that included Jerusalem, I suppose.
She was originally
Yeah.
married to Herod's brother. And then they ended up getting together, and then Herod had her husband basically in a cistern for 12 years, and then finally had him killed. So that's also brought up in the play too.
It sounds all quite dark, but with Oscar Wilde's wit, there's a lot of dark humor in it as well. I think as it progresses, the narrative starts to build into more of what the tragedy is. And yeah, the wit starts to diminish, but I find many parts of it very humorous while it's also being dark.
I feel very fortunate that I have so many dark humor lines that I absolutely love. So, thank you, Oscar Wilde. It's been a lot of fun to deliver those.
Let's play another clip from the Imago Theater production of Salome.
I should like to see the day of which he speaks. When the moon shall become like blood, and when the stars shall fall upon the earth like ripe figs. This prophet talks like a drunken man, but I cannot suffer the sound of his voice. I hate his voice. Command him to be silent.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. And today we're talking about the stage production of Oscar Wilde's Salome, starting April 11th at Portland's Imago Theater. Our guests are Imago Artistic Co-Director Jerry Mahawad, dramaturge Drew Pissara, and actor Diane Slamp. Before we get back to the conversation, I'd like to take a moment to remind our listeners that KBOO is in the midst of our All Thrills, No Frills Volume 4 membership drive. We hope that you've been enjoying our programming and that you'll take a moment to pledge your support. There are all kinds of ways to join KBOO. On the web, you can visit kboo.fm/give. You can also text KBOO to 44321. And if you prefer to go analog, we're always happy to receive a contribution in the mail. The address of the station is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. Again, the webpage is kboo.fm/give. On your mobile device, you can text KBOO to 44321. And of course, you can reach us by mail at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. And now let's talk some more with our guests, Jerry Mahawad, Drew Pissara, and Diane Slamp. Imago is very serious about visual and aesthetic decisions. I mean, you were turned on, Jerry, to physical theater and mask theater through the school of Jacques Lecoq. So yeah, you like to tell part of the story through the sets and the costumes. That's all very important. So what direction have you taken for Salome?
Yeah, so I have to say I was not trained directly by Jacques Lecoq, although I took a week workshop from him. Most of my Lecoq understanding comes from Carol, who did 3 years of study with him in Paris.
That's your co-founder of Imago, Carol Triffel.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure this is Lecoq's influence as well as other people's, that I believe in a kind of total theater where every element of a production is as equal or can be the driving force for it. I think I've done a play once that Carol wrote and I was the lead in, called No Can Do, where the lighting itself was a central character in it. So the design elements, the architecture, and by architecture I mean how you, the audience, responds to the space, how the actors respond to the space, how the actors respond to each other. People sometimes simplify Imago by thinking that because we focus on movement, we are negating other aspects of theater, such as the psychology of what's going on. But, and it's not always the case. It depends on the production. We feel that the understanding of the physicality of what's going on is such a driving force that it can influence everything about the experience. And maybe Diane can talk about that, because I've been directing her quite physically. And then we started to get into a part of Herodias where I said, okay, she's monstrous here. And then I went back to Diane. I was like, Diane, when you become, and I changed the word monstrous because I thought it was just too simple a term. I said, this is Herodias when she's symphonic. And so I said, okay, when she's symphonic, I want you to underline the lines. I want to work with you very specifically on it. And you can hear how far from realism she becomes. She just becomes otherworldly.
Well, a lot of it was like digging deep and finding in the text what was the hot button, the shiv in the side for Herodias to erupt from, and then not necessarily having literal movements that match the words, but more finding what that emotion is and letting the body kind of exude that through movement, that isn't literal. So there was a point, Jerry, I remember there was, you wanted to be a little more stoic in the face, but yet the body drive the emotion, so it didn't match. That was challenging, but that was a really interesting way to look at one section, because it's almost like her trying to, her not having any control of the monster within, although she's trying to stay a little straight face, but everything that has been tamped down is just erupting through every pore in her body. So it's been a really fun challenge, and an exhausting one in a really great way.
I want to add to that on, like, that at Imago, we pride ourselves in taking risks, and the risk taking is not just because we want to take the risk. The risk taking is because we want to deliver something fresh and contemporary, and is coming from a place that perhaps theater has settled into a convention, meaning storytelling and literalism and realism. And we're using all of that as well. We're using storytelling, we're using realism, we're using literalism, but there's so much more that theater is can do that, frankly, film doesn't do too much, except unless it's an art film. And then I say this to the actors too, it's like, it's okay that you're uncomfortable. It's okay if the audience becomes uncomfortable, because something special usually comes out of that. You know, I didn't know this, Diane, when I cast you, but I can say this now. It's like, you're very willing to go, to just to, like, give you a place to go as an actor, and you'll go to an outrageous location where I think more seasoned actors or more psychologically based actors have what I call a cap. They have a difficulty or a lack of desire to go there because they feel like they don't want to be bad, or they want to do the character so-called quote good. And that's great, but what are we here for as a theater company or as human beings? We're here to discover what's new and fresh in life, and what are we doing theater for? The answer is not easy. The answer is, we don't know, but let's try this. That's the best answer I can give.
You've said it many times before. It's like, you have to keep making mistakes, and then we'll find that nugget that makes sense. And so I love the availability and the openness to experiment and really get crazy, and then boil it down to, okay, these are working. So it's been an absolute thrill for me, and loving it.
Yeah. I have to say that, like, my teachings from Jack LeCocq this is easy to understand. So I went to the University of Oregon, and in a theater class, they said, okay, improvise a play and create it. So a bunch of us just made up stuff. All things were open. We presented a 20-minute piece, and it was horrible because there was no focus, no artistic vision. And then I went to the LeCocq School that was run by Richard Hayes Marshall in Portland, Oregon. And it is all about limitations. So he will give you a limitation. LeCocq gives you, like, okay, in this improv, you only have two choices. You either do A or B, and then you create it. And that was so freeing to me as a 20-year-old, as a 21. I was like, thank you. Because as a 21-year-old, you know, it's difficult. I can't pick up a script and play a 50-year-old man in an Ibsen play with a history of whatever. I was like, makes no sense to me. That it didn't do anything. But with LeCocq's work, I was like, oh, I'm in a park. I can only look at that person or turn away from that person. And that was so freeing. So in Salome, it's not that simple, but sometimes it is. I sometimes give the actor and go, you only have a binary choice here. You either can do this or this. And that is limitations are great to have. My primary thing that I always need in a scenic design is limitations. As I told them, the hardest thing is to stage something on a bare stage. And so I limited myself by creating a sort of maze. Basically, there's some platforms in the middle, and then there's rock paths that the actors can only move through. And by that limitation, it gave us quite a Greek tragic kind of staging.
Yeah, it was an interesting, like there are pathways one has to navigate through. And then more toward the end, you start kind of breaking those rules a little bit, which feels like the right thing to do at the end of the play based on the ending of it. But it's been almost like a meditation path. At times it has felt like for Herodias as she's going through the different stresses that are happening throughout the play. So I really have found that very interesting to work with.
Well, Salome runs from April 11th through the 27th. So y'all ready to get underway?
No, we're not ready.
Absolutely.
Diane might be ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
We're getting there. We're not behind schedule. And as everyone that knows theater, every day that you work that's closer to opening is almost a doubling of the time that you did before. So if you work 8 weeks before, the next day is worth 8 weeks. And then the next day after that is worth 16 weeks. It just continues to build on that, hopefully. By the way, you should let your audiences know this is not a family piece. It's rated R.
Oh, well, you've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. And we've been talking today about the stage production of Oscar Wilde's Salome, coming up at Portland's Imago Theater. Our guests have been artistic co-director Jerry Mahawood, dramaturge Drew Pissara, and actor Diane Slamp. Jerry, Drew, Diane, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was a lively conversation.
Yes, and for those listeners who might be interested in finding out more about Salome, what can you tell them?
Google it. There's so much on the internet about it. It's such a famous piece. I would also suggest that they watch the silent film that Drew mentioned, which is quite brilliant. It's on YouTube. What do they look for, Drew? I mean, what was the director?
Alla Nazimova, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, and there's two versions out there. But as a silent film, I really loved it and has been quite an inspiration for this production. I had the whole cast look at it.
Yeah, I would add that I listened to it. I watched it while listening to Steve Reich, and that worked really well.
Yeah, you could do that. You could turn the sound down and listen to it with any kind of music. I think that it's really fascinating that somebody who wrote 140 years ago is so right on and still vibrant in today's times.
So show dates can be found at imagotheaterwithanre.com. Well, we hope that everybody has been enjoying our special programming for KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills membership drive. Before we go, I'd like to remind all of our listeners that this community radio station needs your support. To become a member of KBOO or to arrange for a donation of any size, please visit kboo.fm/give. You can also text KBOO to 44321. Or if you prefer, you can mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. Again, the webpage is kboo.fm/give. On your mobile device, you can text KBOO to 44321. And of course, you can reach us by mail at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. Thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. You can find an archived version of the show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on social media at Words and Picture. Let's go out now with another clip from the Imago Theater production of Salome.
Look at the moon. How strange the moon seems. She is like a woman rising from a tomb. She is like a dead woman. You would fancy she was looking for dead things.
She has a strange look. She is like a little princess who wears a yellow veil and whose feet are of silver. She is like a princess who has little white doves for feet. You would fancy she was dancing.
She is like a woman who is dead. She moves very slowly.